we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh Radio program here. My name is Bob Arthurs, and I, Pastor Merritt Assembly of God, we're going to spend the next half hour with you as you are driving to work or getting groceries or sitting around the kitchen table with a cup of coffee as you're listening to the Word of God, feeding your spirit and growing in your understanding of the Lord Jesus Christ and His glorious Word. So, if you listen at 8:30 of the morning, 5 o'clock of the evening, you're here on WMIE 91.5. If you happen to miss one of those, you can find us at 10:30 of the morning on WWBC 1510 AM. You happen to miss that, you can go to WMIEFM.com and listen to us on demand. If you've got a smartphone and you have an internet connection, you can listen to this program in any time zone around the world. If you can get the TuneIn app, you can find WMIE Radio. And so lots of options there for you. We're just thankful to be able to come and share God's Word with the wonderful people here of Brevard County, and looking forward to all that God continues to do. Right now we're going through the Sermon on the Mount. We have come to the portion of Scripture called the Lord's Prayer, and Matthew chapter 6. And let me just read that to you today, and then we'll get to the point of the series that we're doing. Matthew chapter 6, verse number 8, "Therefore do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask Him. In this manner, therefore, pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." So, Here we are. We're talking right now about the kingdom of God and how it's a completely different mindset than what Americans are trained up to believe in. It's a different form of government. It's different than any monarchy in the world, but it is a kingdom mindset. And the king is an omnipotent God. He's able to do anything. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think or imagine. It's His kingdom. And so we need to adapt our spiritual understanding to how His kingdom operates. And so we've been talking about that. Not everybody is going to take part in that kingdom. There was one portion of Scripture, and it talks about a king going on a journey to see this land that he had gained dominion over. And when he sent messengers, they said, "We do not want this king to rule over us." There are plenty of people that say, "We don't want God ruling and reigning over us." But the end of that parable says this: but he became king anyway. His dominion extended there anyway. And so God's dominion knows no boundaries, no limitations. It extends even to the hardest hearts. Everybody is going to bring glory and honor to God. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So that's what we're talking about. We're trying to see the mindsets that we don't want to have, and then the mindsets that we do want to have, because we don't want to reject God's kingdom, but I also don't want to be right next to it and not enter into it. We want to enter into the kingdom of God and experience all the glory that God intends for his for the joint heirs with Jesus Christ to experience. So let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 7. Now therefore it is already an utter failure for you that you go to law against one another. Why do you not rather accept wrong? Why do you not rather let yourselves be cheated? No, you yourselves do wrong and cheat, and you do these things to your brethren. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. So here we are in this passage, and it talks about the various activities that people who have dominion, or that people regularly participate in, they are controlling features of their lives, and it disqualifies them from the kingdom of God. And I will let me put it to you this way. It is not so much about a micro list that disqualifies as much as it is a failure to accept the lordship of Jesus Christ, which qualifies. That is the qualifying factor of being able to be a participant in the kingdom of God. The first thing that is mentioned is in verse number 9. It says, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? So righteousness is not an option. It's a prerequisite. It's a requirement of those in the kingdom of God. And so because we have been declared righteous because of the work of Jesus Christ, then there are some things that are not going to be suitable for our new lifestyle in this new kingdom. Okay? There are things we shouldn't participate in. Now, I want to be valuable to my king. Daniel was valuable. He had been carried off as a prisoner of war, but he was valuable to Nebuchadnezzar. He was valuable to Nebuchadnezzar's son, even if it was just for the very last day of that of his reign. He was valuable to Darius, and he was valuable to every king that he served. He was valuable to. He represented God well. Well, I want to be valuable to God. And so I don't want unrighteousness ruling in my life. Robert Morris talks about unrighteous mammon. You know, you don't want ungodly money ruling and reigning in your life. You cannot serve both God and mammon. It talks about there. And so we want the Spirit of God being the foundation of our financial well-being, our spiritual well-being. We want to live a righteous life. And listen, in Hebrews it talks about that there are people who, though that by now they should be teachers, that they are still babes and they have no understanding of righteousness. Okay, so we've done a series about that, but Let's go back. Matthew or Hebrews chapter 5, verse number 13, or verse number 12. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Therefore, this is chapter 6, verse number 1, leaving the discussion of the early principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptism, of laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgments, and this we will do if God permits. So there in chapter 5, verse number 13, it talks about people who are unskilled in the word of righteousness, and that is indicative of a babe, not a mature adult. We need some believers to grow up in the understanding of righteousness. We don't need to be unrighteousness. In fact, Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 says, do not be deceived. Do not be deceived. I don't know about you, but I don't like it when people lie to me. I'm a horrible liar. I've got this great big lie, this sign that I think goes off over my head, and lying, and when it goes, so I'm not a convincing liar, therefore I don't lie. It's just not something that I want to do. But what really bothers me is when people know that I know that they're lying and they lie anyway. That's something that it doesn't suit me well. For the life of me, I cannot figure out why politicians flip-flop as much as they do on policy-related issues, knowing that they're not telling the truth. They are strictly adopting an obstruction-type policy, and you can put that on both sides of the aisle. You know, let me tell you something. We are not supposed to be deceiving. We're not supposed to be deceived. We're not supposed to be deceiving. Lying is a part of the kingdom of darkness. Truth is a part of the kingdom of God. And so Paul says, I don't want you to be deceived. And then he goes on and he begins to talk about a number of different behaviors that are not indicative of people who are living inside the kingdom of God. These are people who are rebelling against the kingdom of God. And a number of these, the first one, the third one, the fourth one, the fifth one, all have to do with sexual sin. And it covers the entire gamut of sexual sin, from extramarital adultery to premarital immorality to people who are participating in active and passive ways in sexual sin. It doesn't matter what the nature of the sexual sin is. It is not behavior that reflects kingdom mindset. If you don't think that God cares about if his dominion doesn't extend to the sexual relations of our life, then you would be mistaken, because there's five places here in just this one passage that describe that God does care very much about it. And it's not just about one type of sexual sin. There's way too much sexual sin in the church. We don't even have to go outside the church. You don't even have to look hard to find sexual sin outside the church, but there's way too much sexual sin in the church. And we got to realize that that's a kingdom offense. It's a kingdom offense. It's not about my rights or your rights or anything. Listen, when I accepted Jesus as my Lord, my Savior, and my King, I granted him dominion over every area of my life. And so I in the kingdom of God, there is only one God. There is no idol. There is no activity. There is no policy that can rise up and replace him as the preeminent person in the kingdom, and who alone is worthy to receive praise and glory and honor. Okay? And so for some people, greed is their idol. For some people, fame is their idol. For some people, it's their job, whatever it might be. Listen, you don't need to have any idols. You need to get rid of those things, because they're not conducive for the kingdom of God. Okay? It goes on and it says, thieves or covetous, drunkards, revilers, or extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. So when you hear that list, there's one of two responses. You either look at that list and you say, you know what? I need to repent of those things and get them out of my life, because those things don't go on in God's kingdom. Or the second is you say, you know what? I love this activity in my life more than I love the kingdom of God in my life. And I will tell you this, folks, the hour is later than it has ever been before. The return of Christ is closer than it's ever been before. If not the return of Christ, you know, for you right now, you and I are second by second getting closer to our promotion to eternity. We cannot afford to procrastinate. We cannot afford to delay any longer. We need to purge from our lives the things, the behaviors, the controlling sins that the devil would have us live with that are preventing us from walking in the fullness of God's kingdom. Don't be deceived. Kingdom behavior and the kingdom of darkness behavior are polar opposites. There is no darkness in the kingdom of God, and there's no light in the kingdom of darkness. They are incompatible. Light shows up and darkness flees. That's the way that it works. So Galatians goes on and talks about sorcery and hatred, fits of rage, selfishness, being divisive, heretics, and murderers. So it's a full gamut. There is no such thing as a Christian psychic. There's not that. There's no incantation. There's no magic spell that you're going to be able to do. The kingdom of God is a kingdom of love and not of hatred. You and I are supposed to be controlled by the peace of God. We're not supposed to be prone to fits of outrage. Okay? The kingdom of God is not about what is in my best interest, but what can God do in me for the benefit of the kingdom. It's not divisive in nature. It is reconciling in nature. It is not about heresy. It is about truth. It is not about murder. It is about life. And so back in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 11, it says this, and such were some of you. So it doesn't mean that those elements might not be in your past. It means that when you came into relationship with Jesus, you met him, you said, I made a mess of my life, and he tells me he wants to fix my problems and turn my life around, change my destination. And you say, you know what? I want to embrace the lifestyle that God has for me more than this death style that I've been living all of this time. Proverbs says that if we conduct our lives with sexual immorality, we don't realize that it's like an arrow piercing our liver. I mean, that sexual immorality, it will drag us to hell. Don't let any of those things stay in your life. You know, I may have told you this story before. We were living in East Texas. We lived out in the sticks. I mean, it's not as much out in the sticks as it used to be, because Texas has grown so much population wise. But we had a big pasture out behind our house, and we thought that we had some mice, but it wasn't really that big of a deal until one night I got up and I saw a mouse someplace that it shouldn't have been, and so I declared war on the mice. Up until that time, I'd kind of tolerated them, but they were now looking, it was winter was coming, and they were looking for a warm place, and they didn't pay their rent, so they had to go. No, I'm just kidding. Anyway, if I had just dealt with one of the mice, I would have continued to have a mouse problem. If I had only dealt with a couple of the mice, I would have continued to have a mouse problem. But I chose that I wasn't going to deal with just some of them. I was going to deal with all of them. And I ended up finding out that I had a much bigger mouse plague than what I realized. But I got them all out of the house. So that house was no longer a mouse house. It was a former mouse house. Such were some of you. So for those of you who are listening, that the kingdom of God is a now reality in your life, I want to encourage you and tell you this. Don't forget where he brought you from. Don't forget to keep the safeguards in place to make sure that you don't return there like a dog returns to its vomit. But also, don't forget that the grace of God that set you free is also the grace of God that will set other people free. It is glorious. Listen, I know people in the body of Christ right now who used to not only participate in these things, and I'm not saying they're at Merit Assembly of God. I just know of their conversion from interactions that I had with them in the business world, where these things were not only controlling their lives, it was part of their financial well-being, and it was how they earned their living to an extent. And God came in and radically changed their life. Don't ever forget how important these words are. Such were some of you. Now, I want you to understand there, it doesn't say such are some of you. Okay, he's writing to a Corinthians church that had its fair share of problems, but he points back and he says, look, I understand that God has given you a tremendous testimony because he's delivered you from these things. So we need to make sure that we do not have any of these keeping us out of the kingdom of God. Romans 3:23 says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We were all rebels at some point, and as such, we had no hope for inheriting the kingdom of God except for King Jesus and what he did on our behalf. Let's take one more passage here in the book of Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. And verse number 11. Now as they heard these things, he spoke another parable because he was near Jerusalem and because they thought the kingdom of God would appear immediately. Verse number 12. Therefore, he said, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. This is the passage I was talking to you about earlier. So he called 10 of his servants and delivered to them 10 minas and said to them, do business till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a delegation after him, saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. And it was so that when he returned, having received the kingdom, he then commanded these servants to whom he had given the money to be called to him, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Master, your mina has earned 10 minas. And he said to him, well done, good servant, because you were faithful in a very little, have authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Master, your mina has earned 5 minas. Likewise, he said to him, you also be over 5 cities. Then another came, saying, Master, here is your mina, which I have kept put away in a handkerchief, for I feared you because you were an austere man. You collect what you did not deposit and reap what you did not sow. And he said to him, out of your own mouth I will judge you, wicked servant. You knew that I was an austere man, collecting what I did not deposit and reaping what I did not sow. Why then did you not put my money in the bank, that at my coming I might have collected it with interest? And he said to those who stood by him, take the mina from him and give it to him who has 10 minas. But they said to him, Master, he has 10 minas. For I say to you that to everyone who has will be given, and from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. And don't ever overlook verse number 27, but bring here those enemies of mine who did not want me to reign over them and slay them before me. Okay. Most of the time we focus on the gifts, and I'll touch on that just a little bit, but I also want to talk over there and let you know that God is going to be the king overall. And so we do not want to be rebelling against him. We don't want to be fighting against him. We want to be submitting to his will, to his plan, to his kingdom. So, because there's an eternal separation that comes to those who refuse to allow God to rule and reign in their life. Don't be a part of that. I want to tell you this. I believe that God trains his servants in kingdom principles, and that he is looking for us to put into practice those principles. And so in the Lord's Prayer, you're going to see how important forgiveness is, not just for us to receive it, but for us to disperse it as well. We're supposed to grant forgiveness to people, not be carrying around and nursing grudges all of our lives. We're supposed to be saying, God, you know what? I want to forgive them because I want you to forgive me. There are kingdom principles, and the more we put those principles into action in our life, the greater the return is. I believe that the thing that got this one servant in trouble was not because he didn't know what the king wanted, what the master wanted. He had been trained the same way the others had been. He just didn't put it into practice. And he says, if you're not going to do anything with it, then let me have it. So I'm going to put it into the hands of someone who will. Let's make sure that we are not just listening to the word of God, not just listening to the teachings about the kingdom of God, but that we are actually putting them into practice. That's what a servant of God does. That's what a good servant of God does. That's what a faithful servant of God does. Let's make sure that we are not rebelling against the king, but we are submitting to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It's the best decision we will make in our entire lives. You have a wonderful, wonderful day. We'll see you next time right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.